Right. Father, we thank you for your word, for both the Old Testament and New Testament, seeing them working together to reveal who your Son is and through Jesus for us to understand you better than we would be able to if we just heard words. That we see Jesus and we see you through him. Please help us to understand you better this morning and to apply what we know. Amen. Both are reading from Psalm 32 and the Gospel reading from Luke 19 about Zacchaeus take us back to the fundamentals of what it is to be a Christian, because it's good sometimes, in fact good to do it quite often, to come back and make sure we've got the foundations of our faith right. I know not everyone was able to come to the service, the benefit service last week. It was good to see a good number of people from Wellborn there. And at that service, Archdeacon Catherine, who was leading the service and preaching, spoke of a parable in the previous chapter from Luke 18. About a tax collector and a Pharisee who went up in Jesus' parable to the temple. That is my favourite parable, because to me that's a real encouragement and highlights clearly what it means to be right with God. Jesus speaks about a Pharisee, one of the religious people, one of the religious leaders. In fact, they were quite close to the people. They were not like the Sadducees, who were sort of hoity-toity in the temple people. Pharisees were close to the people, but they got quite a lot of stuff wrong. And this particular Pharisee in the parable got a lot wrong. Jesus tells of this Pharisee thanking God that he was not like other men. Not a good start. He thanked God that he was not like the tax collector. The Pharisee was someone who tithed and fasted twice a week and did stuff. But he was not right with God. The tax collector wouldn't even look up to heaven. He just beat his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said that it was the tax collector who went away, put right with God, not the Pharisee. The Pharisee was what someone who thought he was good enough for God, that he was good enough to be accepted by God, whereas the tax collector realised that he was not. And he threw himself on God's mercy. And that's what we need to do. If we get to the point where we think we are good enough to earn God's favour, that he might owe us something, then we need to get back to what Jesus said. And you can see this sort of thing in quite a number of the parables. The parable of the prodigal son. Actually, there's two sons in that. The prodigal son who throws himself on his father's mercy, having totally screwed things up. There's also the elder brother, who's a bit like the Pharisee in that first parable. And again, there's on the cross, there are two thieves who have been crucified. One says to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He threw himself on Jesus' mercy. The other one didn't. That's throughout the gospel. There was that teaching. And how that works in our life is that when we understand, when we accept, and when we rejoice in the forgiveness that God gives us, that's when it changes our character. Why it works for Christians, it's not that you get yourself right and then God accepts you. It's we get accepted by God and then it changes our character. We do stuff in thankfulness for the God who saved us. We want to please him. So important to get it around that way. And our story today that Richard read, the New Testament one from Luke 19, we see that parable from Luke 18 working out in real life with Zacchaeus. Just to remind you who Zacchaeus is. Stop it. Stop it. I saw that look at me. Right. Face the way, boy. Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector. He was not even like the one in the parable, who was an ordinary tax collector. Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, Luke tells us. Tax collectors were collaborators, and this one, Zacchaeus, was a super duper collaborator with the occupying power, the Romans. This scene takes place, actually, the more you look into it, the more, well, the more I find it fascinating. You might not, I did. Thinking where this took place, remember the Holy Land at that time, you had Galilee in the north, Jewish, but quite a number of Gentiles there. Then you had Samaria in the middle. Think of Galilee as Geordie Land, Newcastle, something like that. In the middle, you had Samaria, like the Midlands of England. And then you've got the south, the biggest bit, Judea. This was taking place in Judea. Jesus was from Galilee. Galilee was ruled by a Jewish king at this time. Did what the Romans told him, but it was actually a Jewish king, or tetrarch. Down south, the Romans were in total control. The ruler was Pontius Pilate. Up north, if you were an ordinary tax collector, you could perhaps pretend to yourself that you were collecting taxes for the benefit of your society. You make a bit on the side, but you could pretend that. Your Jewish king who would look after these Jewish people. Down south in Jericho, not too far from Jerusalem, you could not pretend that because the Romans were totally in control here. They were running absolutely everything directly. So Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector working directly for the Romans. He would have been hated. No wonder the people were aghast when they saw how Jesus treated Zacchaeus. What happened in Jericho that day was an amazing thing, because Zacchaeus was known and hated by those in Jericho. He would have had no friends in the crowd. The crowd had come to see Jesus, or were following Jesus. Jesus had his followers with him. But something must have been happening in the mind of Zacchaeus. This man had wealth. Luke tells us he was wealthy. He was wealthy but hated. The things of this world, of which he had many, they did not satisfy him. He knew there was something wrong. Something was happening with Zacchaeus that made him do this ungainly thing of climbing up into a tree to see this Jesus. Why? Maybe he heard that parable, the one from earlier in Luke, the previous chapter, maybe, don't know. Maybe he'd heard that one of Jesus' closest followers, Matthew, had been a tax collector. Something caused Zacchaeus, this hated Zacchaeus, to climb that tree and see where Jesus was and who he was. But Zacchaeus got more than he bargained for, as often happens when you get close to Jesus. Jesus forgave Zacchaeus. He didn't hear from Zacchaeus anything, but he saw what was in Zacchaeus' heart. Did Zacchaeus deserve to be forgiven for his past? No. Do we deserve to be forgiven our past? Nope. But as Christians, we're not defined by our past, we're defined by our future with God. Some of us can put a date to when we became Christians. Zacchaeus would have been able to hit him in the opposite. Pretty startling day, a complete turnaround for him. But for other people, that's different. One of my favourite authors, C.S. Lewis, the man who wrote The Chronicles of Narnia and all sorts of books. He also wrote some really good, specifically Christian books. If you've never read Mere Christianity, do. Wonderful book. But C.S. Lewis became an atheist about the age of 15. Right. He went on to, he fought in First World War briefly, and then he went back to studies at Oxford, became a fellow at Oxford, really clever bloke. But he was still an atheist, so he started reading some stuff. But he gradually came to understand, to be convinced of the existence of God. Right? And he was not happy about it. He was not a happy bunny. He wrote a book called Surprised by Joy, largely about his becoming a Christian. And let me read it to you. I love this, I really do. You must picture me alone in that room in Magdalen College, Oxford. Night after night, feeling, whenever my mind lifted even for a second from my work, the steady, unrelenting approach of him, the capital H, God, whom I so earnestly desired not to meet. That which I greatly feared had come at last upon me. In the Trinity term of 1929, I gave in and admitted that God was God, and knelt and prayed. Beautiful, but coming up. That night, the most dejected and reluctant convert in all things. Right? Sometimes you can be accused of the Christian as becoming a Christian because you want a crutch, because you want it all. C.S. Lewis didn't. He did not want to become a Christian. In fact, at this point, he was not yet a Christian. He was just what we call a theist. He believed in God's existence. But being just believing in God's existence is not great. It's not enough. Satan's a theist. C.S. Lewis will take another couple of years to become a Christian through a couple of friends. A bloke called Hugo Dyson, nothing to do with the Hoovers or the vacuum cleaners, some intellectual, and J.R.R. Tolkien, the author of The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings, who was a Catholic. And C.S. Lewis actually became a Christian on the trip to Whitsmay, too. Very down to earth stuff, but he became a Christian. Eventually. When God calls us, that call can come in different ways. Sometimes it's a painful one. Sometimes it comes quickly and you think, well, why didn't I say what's before? Might be a very stuttering one, was with C.S. Lewis. All may happen very quickly. C.S. Lewis again, he uses an analogy of how people can become Christians. He speaks of being like being on a train between Paris and Berlin. I might have used this before, can't remember. If you're on a train when it's in daylight, you can see when you cross the border, as it was then. But if you're on the train at night, you don't realise when you cross the border, you can't see, you might be asleep. But when you get to the end of the journey, whether you went night train or during the day, you know you're in Germany and you need to live as people who are now in Germany. You buy bratwurst rather than baguettes. You've moved country. That's no good speaking French now. You need to speak German. When we move country, when we become Christians, when we enter that new country, the kingdom of God, we need to speak and act as inhabitants of our new country. How Lewis got there was very different to how Zacharias did. But the end result was the same. They became people who knew they needed God and came to him for forgiveness. And through God's grace, embarked on that life that God wanted for them. And when we know where we are, when we know that we are in the kingdom of God, we will grow in confidence about God's love for us and be set up for all eternity. So if we have crossed that border into our new country, the kingdom of God, we need to live that way, live the way of that new country. We need to buy bratwurst instead of baguettes. If we're not sure whether we've actually crossed the border, then we need to make sure that we do. If you haven't, you need to get on that train. And I suggest getting on that train today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the way that you accepted Zacharias. That little man, that hated man, the man who could bring nothing good really, to you. But thank you that Jesus accepted him and turned him round. And that for Zacharias that was a startling change round. Thank you that you treat those of us who don't have a startling conversion, don't have a startling story of coming to you where things are more gradual. But thank you that you are the same God, the same faithful God who will get hold of us and change us. Please, Lord, help us to not put up resistance to that, but to embrace the change that you have for us. Amen.
Amen.